from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, Stefanski, Zero Trust, and Ken Dorsey. Was it a bad hire? 216-474-0092. Let's get to it. Anthony Lima, Danny Cunningham. We have Browns news galore. We have guys already dipping out, veterans dipping out, making sure they don't have to be at training camp. We got Amari Cooper sending mixed messages. What does it all mean? We have Owen. We have Mitch. Go ahead. How are you, Danny?
Is the season over?
I'm a little worried. Off-season losses.
Is it time to press the panic button?
They are starting to mount. Fortunately, we have Michael Stanley to get us through it. Let's go. Let's go.
You can definitely tell Ken is not here today.
That's
what the hell just happened.
I had to sneak all that in. Yeah, Ken would not allow me to do that. Ken will be back on Monday.
Lucky for you, I'm here.
No, we appreciate it. Did it feel like yesterday was a real Browns day after the abyss that is the offseason? The quietest, no-drama offseason in Browns, recent Browns history? Mitch, are you standing by that question today?
I will in confidence, yes.
Thought there was a lot of drama that came out of that opening press conference by Kevin Stefanski.
I got to give it to Kevin, though, because, you know, he's having fun with it.
Yeah.
You tell Kevin, he's back in his element. I think while it's great to be on vacation, I think when you're someone like Kevin, I don't know, maybe this just changes. Maybe it depends on what your career is, how much you detest your job. I imagine Kevin does not detest his job at all. It's an awesome job to have.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has its pain points like anything else. But eventually, you know, he's living in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm sure he's built up some friends here. But eventually it's like, let's get back to work. This is what I'm good at. I've won Coach of the Year. I have to try to validate that now. You know how he is. These guys are freaks. I mean, you know how he is. He's not sitting there every day going, you better call me Coach of the Year. Like, no, he's like, man, I've won that twice, and I haven't been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't won any Super Bowls. And you know he's got an ego just like anybody else. He wants to get back to work. And so I thought it was cool yesterday that there's this barrage of news, and he just kind of, all right, yeah, Tomlinson's not going to be here. Newsom's not going to be here. Okay, and I'm going to call the place. All right, yeah. What do you guys want to do?
I thought it was great that he got, I mean, obviously the injury stuff, not great. But I did think that the first thing him saying being I'm going to call the plays made me so happy, not just because I'm someone who really, I think he's an elite play caller. I think he's fantastic at that. I think it might be the best thing that he does. So I never quite understood why there were people that didn't want him to do what I think he does best. So the fact that he just came out and got that out of the way, and it's not something that everyone's going to have to argue about for the next 6 or 7 weeks until the game against the Dallas Cowboys, when we might find out, I thought that was a great thing.
I thought it was too. I thought, it dispenses with a lot of the nonsense that was simmering behind the scenes. I know that fans, and we hadn't dwelled on it on this show, but there were some fans going that this was forced on them, as if a coach of the year, after the year they just had, as if, who would have forced it on them? Who was going to get in there after what they accomplished last year when they had no business making the playoffs with those injuries, from the moment the season started with Conklin going out and then Chubb and then not having Deshaun Watson for any period of time and losing him and having four and then a fifth quarterback, what, played in the final game of the year. Like, having all that go down, make the playoffs. Yes, disappointment in the playoffs, but every team is disappointed by the playoffs the way they end except for one.
Right.
So they lose. It was not a good loss. It wasn't.
They picked a bad day to have a bad day.
It was.
That's what that was.
It was an all-time bad day. It was so weird. But with all of that said, like, nobody is then coming in saying, you got to change the offense and you got to change the play caller. Like, that's not... That's not something that would have happened.
I think it's ridiculous when people have thought that. I truly do, because Kevin Stefanski has done nothing, in my opinion, but make, one, the quarterbacks that he has had play the best football of their career. You can't say that about Deshaun Watson, but you can say that for pretty much every other quarterback that has played under Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. He's got the most out of them. I think he's done that with a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and I think his game day play calling puts this offense, puts his quarterbacks in position to be successful. And that's ultimately, if the Browns are going to get to where they want to go this year, so much is riding on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has to be so much better than he's been in Cleveland. And for him to get there, I think the answer has always been Kevin Stefanski calling plays.
216-474-0092. You hit on something there. You said that he's an elite play caller. This became a huge discussion on the afternoon show yesterday. And to me, whether you want to call him elite, whether you want to call him a good play caller, like Nick Wilson did have a point. Like, the average fan outside of Cleveland probably still doesn't know a ton about Kevin Stefanski. And why is that? Well, the Browns were not on national TV a lot the last 4 years. They just haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I know everybody's on national TV all the time, but of all those teams that are on national TV all the time, feels like the Browns are not.
I think that's a fair point.
Second part of that, they have not had the playoff success. You know, Sean McVay is considered an elite play caller. They've seen it in the playoffs. They've seen it in a Super Bowl. They've seen Kyle Shanahan do it his entire career on five different teams with 10 different quarterbacks and have success every single time. Andy Reid, they've seen this iteration of Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, and nobody questions his play calling anymore. They might have in Philadelphia. They don't at this point anymore. Owen?
Got a lot of questions, but I'll let it go.
Okay. But is he not considered one of the great ones?
Yeah. Of course.
I would say Sean Payton had been. People have forgotten.
I think he, at this point, has become a little bit overrated.
Overrated?
I think he's become a little bit overrated with the way people talk about him. I mean, yeah, he's had success in the past, but it was a long time ago. It was a very long time ago. He was a good NFL head coach.
Yeah,
not to say he's bad now, but I don't think he's some elite play caller that he was.
Yeah.
I don't think he's there anymore.
Okay. I'm not going to sit here and pick apart every single one. I mean, I guess Mike McDaniel.
I think after that group of three, so you bring up McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid.
You think there's a gap.
After that group of three, I don't know that there's another guy out there that you can say is for sure a better play caller than Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, I like that.
Those three, sure. I'm not going to push back on that. But after that, I don't know that there's someone else that I don't think there's an argument for Stefanski to be better than. We can talk.
So me and you are on the same page on this.
Oh, good.
And that's why I'm not going to say I did fist pumping yesterday when that news came down, because I do think by and large, for a lot of teams, play calling, it's going to be very important that I specify what I mean by this. I have said time and time again, I think play calling is so overrated the way that fans think of play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I think fans are all results driven. And if they lose a game, the obvious thing is when an NFL team loses a game and it's close and they're all one possession games, the obvious things to talk about are time management and play calling. And fans all have the fortune of knowing that the play didn't work. They have no idea what the other considerations were on why that coach called the plays, other than what a coach says in a press conference. And then we throw out the number, they call in on Monday morning, and they say, play calling. That's why they lost the game.
There is a section of Browns fans that maybe this will change this year because of Nick Chubb's status and that knee injury, and you don't know what he's going to be when he does ultimately return. But there's a section of Browns fans that the way they talk about play calling with Kevin Stefanski and what they want him to do is that they basically want the Browns offense to look like the Naval Academy. Like, there's a section of Browns fans that wants that. And it's insane to me.
As if that works in 2023.
If that worked in the NFL, if running the ball 80% of the time worked in the NFL, you'd see teams do it. Teams will do anything to win. Kevin Stefanski, as a play caller, will do anything
to win. And
because
you don't turn the ball over when you hand the ball off.
Right,
for
and
the most
game
part.
Gets shorter. Like, but that's not how the NFL works.
You don't have 10-yard holding penalties when you run the football the way you do in pass protection. You know, it's a safer way to go. It doesn't work.
Right.
You can't run. If teams want to take away the run in the NFL, they can.
Yes.
They know how to load up boxes. They know how to really put the pressure on offensive games that are not versatile, that don't, you know, that don't make you, you know, keep an open mind. And so you're right. Fans, just because Nick Chubb averaged 5 yards a carry, they're like, well, why don't they make the whole airplane out of Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
Why don't they give him the ball 30 times a game? It's easy. That's a guaranteed win. And it's like, no, that's not how it works at all. In fact, you would lose. You would lose every game.
Yes, you would not be successful if they did that. But there's a big section of fans that just wants run the ball, not every play, but 80% of the time. That doesn't work. I think Stefanski does a great job. I think he's really well balanced. I think he does a great job, too, of calling passes to set up the run. Part of the reason why Nick Chubb, I think, has been so successful at the end of games is because, one, he can be a little bit fresher in fourth quarters. You see him operate as the team's closer. Part of that's because, and this will really upset people, the Browns come out of the gates very often throwing the football because you can, in the NFL, you can throw to set up the run. That is a way to loosen up defenses. The Browns have been really, really good at it with just about every quarterback that they have. And I think that's a big reason why, again, Nick Chubb, one of the best closers in football.
It's also why all the teams, if you follow the analytics on this stuff, all the teams are now throwing the ball on first down.
Yeah.
It's almost considered a defeat if you run the ball on first down because it limits your playbook. It does not keep defenses, you know, on their heels at all. Meanwhile, here is yesterday. Kevin Stefanski, the play caller in chief, explaining why he's going to be calling the plays.
I take my time on decisions. I talk to a lot of people. And decisions that I think are important to the team, I take my time and I talk to people. I gather information. But I want to reiterate, I feel really, really strongly about our entire offensive staff. Ken Dorsey is going to be a huge, huge help to me, not just on game day, throughout the week. He has a huge influence on what we do offensively already, things that we're implementing, things that he's putting together, the way he works with our offensive staff. So those are things that I don't take it lightly.
So I made a big case over the last few weeks that it just made sense. Ken was in agreement too. He made the case that it just made sense for Stefanski to call the plays.
Yeah.
You know, before this year, I did think, all right, maybe it would make sense to delegate, focus on some other things. But then they hired Jim Schwartz and the defense was rock solid. And it was like, okay, I don't think that's something we have to worry about as much. And also, as he continues to grow, much in the same way Sean McVay, he only cared about that play sheet his first few years in the NFL. He got more seasoned. He got more experience under his belt. And now he finds himself to be a well-rounded coach. I thought, well, that could be the same thing for Kevin Stefanski.
Absolutely, it can be. And just because you call plays offensively and do it at such a high level the way that Kevin Stefanski does, that doesn't mean that you're not focusing on other aspects of coaching the football team. People don't realize, I don't think, that you're able to, and this is true in life too, not just coaching football, you're able to focus on more than one thing. Your job is not contained to, oh, I only do this thing really well. I'm the head coach of the football team. I call plays. I don't worry about the defense. I don't worry about special teams. I can assure you, Kevin Stefanski worries about all of that stuff. His job is all-encompassing. It's just this one aspect of things is where you really see, you see the results so quickly. And that's why I think people latch on to this.
Well,
the other aspect of this in hiring Ken Dorsey, and you talked about being on national TV, and I think it's fair to say that Buffalo was on national TV recently while Ken Dorsey was there.
Absolutely.
Far more than the Browns were. So I do think that the average fan is a little bit more familiar with Ken Dorsey as a play caller than they were Kevin Stefanski. I never came away from watching Buffalo super impressed with how they called plays offensively. Obviously, Josh Allen's a freak.
You and Dan Orlovsky.
Josh Allen's a freak, but there was nothing about that offense that I looked at and said, oh, wow, you know, I love how they set this up, or I love this play call in this situation. I thought their success was more because of the quarterback and less because of how they operated offensively, and I don't think you can say the same for the Browns.
I totally agree. I could not find, and I seeked it out. I definitely looked to see what people were saying about Ken Dorsey in Buffalo. It's not that he's not a good offensive mind. It's not that he does. Nobody's saying that.
No.
But I could not find anybody that could make, for me, a compelling enough case that not only should Kevin Stefanski give away the play calling, the strength of what he does, but then give it to Ken Dorsey based on, you know, the season. He just had the roughest professional season in his NFL
fired.
Career. Right.
Maybe he was a scapegoat. Maybe he shouldn't have been fired, but that offense took off after he was out of town in Buffalo.
It became more versatile.
Yeah, and that you need versatility offensively. You do. I never thought, you know, let's take away play calling duties from Kevin Stefanski to give it to somebody who's not as good as him at that.
Yeah.
Never made sense.
Yeah, and you want to talk about their offense. You know, they had won, I think, their final five or six games, and then all of a sudden, James Cook was this Christian
stud.
McCaffrey light.
Yeah, he was a stud.
Like, they were using him in the passing game just as much in the running game, and that was not a part of the offense when Ken Dorsey was running the show. So, you got the news of the day. 216-474-0092. We do have plenty of sound on that relationship between Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, we'll get to that Guardians game in just a second. It was an ugly one, one big mistake by Gavin Williams. But first, back to the Greenbrier training camp. Got underway yesterday. Plenty of news on that first day from Kevin Stefanski, whether it was Tomlinson getting the knee scope, whether it was Greg Newsom and the hamstring. Danny, any of that something to get really concerned with this early?
I think when your hamstring is bad enough that you need surgery on it, in the case of Greg Newsom, you probably don't feel great, especially when you're an athlete that has to fly around the field playing that corner position he plays. You know, Tomlinson, the knee scope, I'm a little bit less concerned about that. I think that type of thing kind of happens all the time.
Is it just a vet move?
Maybe, you know, just
timing's perfect.
He is. I think he's more of the guy, especially playing that position. Show up week one. Just be ready for week one. If he's good to go against Dallas, I'm fine with it. But the hamstring is the thing here that I had to raise my eyebrows at that. I'm
and a guy
there.
That's been a rumored trade candidate, right?
Yeah.
For a while now, you wonder how does that factor in at all? So that was some of the news yesterday. And then, of course, Kevin Stefanski saying he would be calling the plays once again as the coach of the Cleveland Browns. So it led me, my first, just my cynical view of things was like, did Ken Dorsey just not impressive enough? Because he kept it open. It's not like he said, hey, I'm bringing in Ken Dorsey. We're going to explore his offense and we are going to install his offense, but I'm going to be calling the plays. He didn't say that all offseason.
Right.
It was, yeah, I'll make a determination later. Like, to me, this is just me, but my first thought was, yeah, maybe Dorsey did not bring enough to the table in the time they had spent for him to be comfortable enough.
Do you think that, like, the first few months of this since, I mean, he was hired in, what, February? Do you think that the last 5 months have been a tryout for Ken Dorsey and he didn't pass?
That is, honestly, the way you phrased it seems even more nefarious or something like that. But isn't that how this stuff works?
I mean,
like, if Dorsey knocked his socks off, like, he'd be calling the plays, would he not?
But it also could have been something that this was decided and they knew this going into this. So that could be true too. Like, when Ken Dorsey was hired, it could have been he was hired to be the offensive coordinator that was not going to be a play caller. That is entirely possible. We don't know because the Browns and Kevin Stefanski have kept this murky on purpose, I think, towards us for the last several months.
To what gain? How would it help?
I don't know. I don't know that it does or doesn't, but it's something that they have consistently done because this has been a question to Stefanski, I believe, every year since he's been the head coach, and he has not given an answer this early. It's always been, you know, we'll see. We'll make a determination on that. We're going to do what's best for the team. And then, like, 2 weeks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Weeks before week one, he says, yeah, I'm going to call plays. That's what it's been.
Elton in East Cleveland. Go ahead. How are you, Elton?
Good morning.
Morning.
He should not be calling plays. He's not a good play caller. We have seen time and time again, he outthinks himself. Thinks he's out coaching the opponent, and he's playing right into their hands. He is not good. His ego is in his way. He should not be calling plays ever.
Okay.
I don't want to see him call a play.
Elton, I heard a lot of platitudes that I think every fan who doesn't like their coach says.
Yep.
Basically, I think you could copy and paste. Hold on. I think any sports talk show in the country could copy and paste what you just said when they're angry at their coach. Do you have any specifics?
Okay. All we got to do is look back to last year. I can tell you one game in Pacific. The San Francisco game got down to the goal line with a horrible quarterback. You want to keep throwing the ball. In Denver, you're trying to run these short routes for your quarterback to throw, and Denver sat on it. Instead of you making adjustments, you kept running the same stupid plays. It's obvious he does not know what he's doing when it comes to play calling. Let Dorsey run it. It's just a smokescreen. And we're going to hire Ken Dorsey. The only game we won a playoff was Alex Van Pelt calling plays. Alex Van Pelt was a scapegoat last year, got rid of him.
Okay, Elton, I disagreed with about 17 things you said, but make the case for Ken Dorsey.
Why not?
Because he just got fired somewhere else.
What do you mean? Make a case.
The 2024 Cleveland Browns. Why not?
That is the exact fan that I'm talking about. That is the exact fan I talk about.
Well, he mentioned the 49ers game.
They won!
And who was their quarterback in the 49ers game?
That was P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker. And I get it. I get it. You wanted him to run the ball on a play, and he threw it. Therefore, he's a bad play caller. I mean,
right.
I think that's the level of discourse that frustrates me when we get into this. I appreciate his passion. I appreciate...
Sure.
And the Denver game was not a good game.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson was so overmatched. And that was at a point where Denver just had insane turnover luck. Like, they went on that run. The Broncos went on a run last year because somehow, some way, they created a bunch of turnovers every game, and the Browns fell victim to that. Just because in the San Francisco, I know the exact play call Elton is talking about in that San Francisco game. Just because you have a bad play call does not make you a bad play caller. Think about all the play calls that Kevin Stefanski made in that game that worked, that were a big reason why they won that game.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, there's an Elton in every town that can cite bad play calls from as many games as they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many plays are called in a given game? They don't all work. The Chiefs are in a bunch of one-possession games. They have Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure there's some Elton in Kansas City who is sitting there going, we'd be beating these teams by 3 scores if Andy Reid called the plays right.
I
guarantee you there's somebody like that.
There are fans in KC that are saying if Eric Bieniemy were still here and calling plays, the Chiefs would have an extra Super Bowl.
We were hearing that forever. So I think it's always easy to just pick the guy that's not in.
Like, I think Ken Dorsey's a good offensive mind. I don't think he showed himself to be a very good play caller in Buffalo. So why do you want him calling plays over Kevin Stefanski, I think, who he's had a better history as a play caller in the NFL? He has.
Now, if I had a major gripe with Stefanski last year in any game about play calling, it would be that first Baltimore game when they basically put DTR out there. But that was a weird week. It was a weird scenario altogether.
I don't put a ton of blame on him for that. I think everybody on offense was put into an impossible situation by number four.
He was thrown to the dogs in that game. I felt bad for him.
I think everyone on that offense was put into a terrible position because Deshaun Watson didn't play after practicing all week.
It was weird.
It was unfair.
The whole thing was weird.
It's unfair to Kevin. It was very unfair to DTR. It was unfair to the rest of that offense. It was.
Meanwhile, Guardians, and we'll pick that up again coming up next hour. We'll also get to Amari Cooper and the latest on him and what happened with that contract negotiation. The Guardians get blanked 3-0. It's like, what else is new with this offense as they struggled at home? They end up splitting the series with Detroit. Still have a 4.5-game lead in the division right now. But yesterday, I saw Kwan got blanked. He is now no longer your batting champion.
Right. He
Your leader, I should say.
On June 20th, he had a single. Maybe it was a double early in the game against Seattle. Batting average was up to 400. It's dropped 59 points since that moment. I understand that was not a sustainable thing. He was not going to be able to stay there, but dropping all the way down to 341 has been a disappointment. This offense, Anthony, hasn't been good enough. In the month of July, they've got 3 wins by more than 1 run. They had 11 of those in June. They've scored 5 runs or more 7 times in July. They did that 13 times in June. And I get there are a couple less games in July because of the All-Star break, but I think that those things speak to what this offense has been doing, and they've been scuffling.
All right, you say scuffling, but just don't use the term funk. Here is manager Stephen Vogt.
We're playing good baseball. You know, I think we've had games where we've scored. We've had games where we haven't, but I wouldn't call it a funk. I would just say we've lost more games than we've won the last couple of weeks. And for our guys, I think I like our bats. I like where we are. But everybody needs to relax and be themselves.
You can say they're not in a funk, but I also don't think you can say they're playing good baseball right now. I don't think that if you want to say they're not in a funk, that they've had some bad breaks, fine. Do I agree? No, but fine. But you can't say we're not playing good, that they're playing good baseball. This is not true at the moment. I don't think they're having great at-bats. I don't. They're not playing well offensively. It's okay to admit that.
Yeah, that's what he's saying to the public. That's what he's saying to the press the first time that he has truly been tested as an MLB manager. They're trying to figure things out. Now, he certainly knows that this comes with the gig. Over time, you're going to have your guys slumping. You hope it's not all at the same time, which seemingly that is where it's at right now. But at the same time, Danny, I wonder what he's saying behind the scenes to these guys because he knows.
I'd love to know.
Well, you know, critical stretch, right? I mean, look at the schedule coming up. I think yesterday, Owen, were you the one that said they have the toughest strength of schedule?
Correct.
Was it in the American League
in baseball? Major League Baseball.
In all of baseball. So this is only going to get tougher, but we're about to find out what this team is truly made of, you know, and whether or not they can hold on. The good news is they built up such a buffer, and they do have the trade deadline coming up. But how aggressive will they be at the trade deadline? Chris Antonetti did say this.
You have to be obviously attentive to what's in the market, what's available to you, and then blend that with the needs that, you know, that we think we might have or the opportunities we might have to improve. And so we have an idea of what we'd like to accomplish going in, but how we're able to execute that's hard to predict.
So he dances around it. You're wondering how aggressive this team is going to be. When we come back, we'll get into whether or not this series with Detroit and their scuffling ways following the All-Star break, whether it makes things a little bit more dire for that front office as we get closer to that deadline. 216-474-0092. Amari Cooper at the Greenbrier. We had wondered in the lead up to training camp over the last month or so, would Amari Cooper even report on day one of camp? Not only did he report, he was there, and then you could hear him. He's a creature of habit. He would have it no other way, which leads me to wonder, what kind of negotiation was this between Amari Cooper and the Cleveland Browns?
What did you make of the grass isn't always greener on the other side? Because I thought when that coming from a guy who has played with multiple other organizations, I mean, we always think of him with his career in Dallas, and I think we kind of forget that he was actually drafted and played for Oakland for a while before he went to Dallas. Like, he's been in the league for a long time. I thought that that did tell me he's had a really good experience here in Cleveland. It made me feel like, okay, maybe this guy isn't actually just saying the right things.
I heard the exact same thing you did. I think that is music to the ears of the Cleveland Browns, and it should absolutely be something as Browns fans you love hearing, because for so many years, Danny, I would hear free agent after free agent come in here on 3-13 teams to try to save the day, but we knew the Browns were throwing the most amount of money at some of these guys, which is never the way to spend in free agency in reality, especially on veterans.
Wait, you're saying Dwayne Bowe wasn't here?
Kenny Britt, Dwayne Bowe, like it was a cavalcade of guys like that.
How far has the wide receiver room come from those guys to now? And I understand the Browns don't have the best in football, but man, it has come a long way from the days of Dwayne Bowe in Cleveland.
But that's what I mean. You hear that stuff that Amari Cooper, first of all, could he endear himself to Clevelanders any more than A, he already has, but B, him basically telling you, I want to be here, I actually love it here, and you believe him. It's not lip service.
Yeah, this does not sound like a guy that is only saying the right things because he doesn't want to talk about this. This sounds like an adult telling the truth. That's exactly what this sounds like. And, you know, maybe there is a way for him to be back next year. If he's not back in Cleveland next year, I don't think it's because he doesn't want to be in Cleveland next year.
Well, I want to ask you about that in a second here, because over the last few days, me and many others were like, well, he's playing his last year here with the Cleveland Browns. He definitely tried his best to make people like me think a very different way based on what he said. So the whole thing, when it came to a negotiation with the Browns, his big leverage point, his big bargaining chip, this entire time, and what we had talked about was, well, he'd have to hold out. That would be any leverage that Amari Cooper would have in a negotiation with the Browns. He had this to say about a holdout.
To be honest, holding out was never in the cards. I don't have any experience doing it, so, like, I'm kind of a routine kind of guy, and I'm the type of guy I need those reps. You know, I always knew I was going to be here at training camp for sure.
So then you wonder, when it comes to calling the bluff, if Amari Cooper is telling us, yeah, I was never going to hold out. Did the Browns ever really think Amari Cooper was going to hold out? Now, I will say,
I don't know. That is a legitimate question I don't have the answer to.
Well, the Browns did. I'll tell you what. The Browns did give him something. People are wondering, well, what did he get out of this? All right, the raise, right? The $5 million raise and the money up front. Okay, that's good. Anytime you can make an extra $5 million, although there are incentives, so he has to reach certain numbers. We don't have the specifics on that. Not sure how difficult it is going to be, whether they drove a hard bargain on some of those numbers. But in reality, what did he get out of this? He basically said it yesterday. If I go down with an injury in camp, I don't get the money.
Yeah.
To be honest, holding out was never in the cards. I don't have any experience doing it. So, like, I'm kind of a routine kind of guy. And I'm the type of guy I need those reps. You know, I always knew I was going to be here at training camp for sure.
And he goes on to say that if he, you know, trips over something, goes down with an injury, the way these contracts are set, you're screwed. You're screwed in today's NFL.
Yeah, and it's something that if they're going to have 18-game schedules coming up here shortly, and I know Albert Breer said on Afternoon Drive yesterday that he expects that by 2029, this is something that I think the players should be fighting for, that these types of injury protections and contracts, and I understand that they're possible to get now, but they're not widespread across the league. Like, it is, there's nothing that prevents guys from getting guaranteed contracts the way Deshaun Watson has one. They're just not widespread because the owners haven't given in. I think a big part of that's because the players' union has been so weak when it comes to these things, but I totally get where he's coming from. If I'm Amari Cooper, I believe he's 30 years old, you're not going to have a ton more opportunities to get paid. You don't want to waste this one in particular. I know that it sounds like he wanted an extension, and it does sound like he wants to be in Cleveland, but you also have to think about this year in the present. I do think that's a lot of what this was about.
Yeah, one more note on why he did hold out a minicamp.
Signed a 5-year deal with the Cowboys. Only 2 years was guaranteed. This is the last year of that deal, but it isn't guaranteed until the week of the first game. And so I was really trying to mitigate the time in which I'd have to be out here practicing and risking injury. You know what I mean? So it was more so about the guarantees, because you never want to get injured without any guarantees. And in the language of the contract, I could get cut. So it was more so about that.
So he explains the logic in all of it right there.
Yeah. And it's hard to push back on that. Like, that's a really good point that he makes. That does not sound to me like a guy that's unhappy. It does not sound to me like a typical holdout does. Like, you see what's going on in San Francisco right now, where I don't believe Trent Williams showed up, where he's actually holding out. Brandon Ayuk is holding in, where he's at the facility.
He's
not practicing. He showed up, so he's not getting fined, but he's not actually doing anything. This sounds so much different than those.
So here's the next problem for somebody like Amari Cooper. Whenever you give a press conference like that, the teams will, and we've seen a track record of this in sports, the teams hold it against you. And what do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Well, the team knows, he just said he's not really going to hold out. He needs these reps. So that is point Cleveland Browns,
when they're
right, in a negotiation going forward.
When they're negotiating with him, if they do have interest in bringing him back after this year, they're going to play these clips. They might play this segment for him when they sit down with him. That's exactly what they could do. And I get it. Like, it is a business from that aspect of it. And Amari Cooper didn't do himself any favors with getting a long-term, very lucrative contract from the Browns in the future. But I do think that he told the truth, and I respect that.
Well, he said also not about the money. All right.
Yeah.
And in this case, you actually believe him. That's team Amari Cooper.
And
that he really likes it here.
That's another thing the Browns can say. You like it here, and you said it's not about the money. Let's make a deal.
And so I wonder, because obviously we know, we have a very famous example in this town of a player taking a home team discount in the biggest way possible, much to the chagrin of his agency and much to the chagrin of a players union in his sport, in Jose Ramirez. Mm-hmm. They were not happy that Jose Ramirez left like $100 million.
If not more.
On the I've actually never heard of that. Maybe our fans could come up with other examples. I've never heard of anything that excessive from a player.
It's hard to judge because you don't know the exact number he would have gotten. Like, if we had an exact figure and we knew... So if he didn't sign that extension, I believe he was going to be traded to the Padres, right? Like, that was the deal that the Guardians had on the table, and the Padres probably would have extended him. We don't know what that contract would have looked like. I would love to know exactly what that figure is so we know how much of a pay cut he took, but it's hard for me in any sport. And I guess the other sports are a little bit different because contracts can be kind of structured differently. But I don't know of any pay cut that an athlete has taken, a steeper hometown discount that I can think of.
Well, so it brings us to a larger question. Like, is Amari Cooper, does he now have a shot? Have you changed your mind? Do you think Amari Cooper has a shot to be wide receiver number one for the Cleveland Browns in 2025, a year from now? Are we going to be talking about this again, and will he have some sort of a new deal? 216-474-0092. And the big news of the day yesterday in West Virginia, Kevin Stefanski holding those play calls, that play sheet, with a death grip. How do you feel about Kevin Stefanski as a play caller for the Cleveland Browns? We have some sound from somebody who thinks not only is it a great idea, Kevin Stefanski is one of the better play callers in all the NFL.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.